Proverbs 16. I'm going to read a couple more verses in one verse in Colossians and verse 10 in 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to take a thought from verse 7, but we're going to read a few of these verses anyway. This is a good chapter. All of Proverbs is good. If you apply it to your life, if you listen to it, the wisdom of the of Solomon as he speaks to his son and gives him some good advice, as we mentioned this morning. The Bible says the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, as we look at this simple thought this evening, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that we'd be attentive to what the Spirit says to our heart, Father, tonight. Lord, I pray that you just ever direct in furtherance of this service. Help us now for just a little bit, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. As you read the book of Proverbs, you find a lot of wisdom. If you apply it to your life, that you can live a good and a peaceable life. And I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do, especially us that are saved, to live a life that's pleasing unto Him, that He would get honor and glory from. Verse 7 again in chapter 16 said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And what a tremendous verse this is this evening. But with all of the potential we find in this verse, there's attached to it a prerequisite. Who do you strive to please the most in your life? Your spouse, your family, your children, your boss, yourself? It seems today that many strive to please man more than God. But the chief aim of a person that's saved this evening should be to please the Heavenly Father. And in the book of Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14, Paul offered a petition unto God for the church at Colossae. He had heard a good report of them from Epaphras, their pastor. The aim of Paul's petition for them is found there in verse 10. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I believe the aim of every believer this evening in all our conduct should be to please God in every way that's possible, to anticipate and to do His wishes in every aspect of life. And I want to look at that thought this evening on seeking God in ways that please Him. Seeking God in ways that please Him. And I want to just look at two different thoughts, and main thoughts going to be number one here. We're going to review of this order that we've been given here in verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So what is it that pleases God this evening? I believe number one would be reverence to His name. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So for us to please God, we must be in awe of His glory and His power. And Psalms chapter 33, verse 8, the Bible tells us, said, let all the earth fear the Lord. There's that word again that we looked at this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we see there's a lot said about reverence in God and reverence and honor in His name. Being in awe of His glory and His power. For such a great God that we serve this afternoon. I mean, He's in control of this universe. He's all powerful. And we think of power and that's in this world today. The power of men that has power in this world, but it's nothing compared to the power and glory of God in our lives. Psalms 119, verse 161 says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of Thy word. And this Bible, it glorifies God. It exalts Him. You can sense it in every portion of Scripture just about that you read. I mean, it reverences God. It honors God. And I believe that you and I, if we're going to please God, we're going to have to reverence His name. And then we're going to, for us to please God in the way that we would honor Him, we must be in awe of His glory and His power. And then Psalms 113, verses 1 to 9 said, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. Is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be joyful, a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So for us to please God, I believe we need to be in awe of His glory and His power this afternoon. And for us to reverence God as we should, I believe we must see Him for who He is. I mean, He's not this little old man that's sitting up on a throne in heaven that's got a stick in his hand waiting to beat us over the head with it when we do wrong. But He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a God that judgeth. He's a God that doeth right. And we can find that there in the book of Isaiah, there in chapter 6, as Isaiah penned down that passage of Scripture. Hey, for us to reverence God as we should, hey, we must see Him for who He is. Verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I was reading some in, I believe it was Matthew Henry's while ago, and he mentioned this, said Israel's king dies, but Israel's king still, but Israel's God still lives. He is eternal. He is immortal. And I'm glad this evening that God is still alive and well. He's still seated on the throne this afternoon, and He's a holy God. He does everything that He does is right. He does it in righteousness. He does it in holiness. And I'm glad this evening that for us to reverence God as we should, hey, we're going to have to honor Him. We're going to have to pay Him, give Him the glory that He deserves, and honor Him for who He is and for what He does. We got to see Him for who He is. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the creator of this world. I mean, He's the creator of man. The Bible talks about how God directs our steps. And we find in this portion of Scripture, in verse 7 again, said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with. Hey, that's a pretty big statement, but we serve a pretty big God. Hey, that's well able, if we'll live our life to try to please Him, and if we're going to reverence Him like we should, we're going to have to see Him for who He is. And not just take it for granted that He's there and He's just there at our beckoning call. I mean, we need to seek to please God, and we need to see Him for who He is. And then not only Isaiah saw the Lord for who He was, and we need to see God for who He is, but we need to see ourselves as what we are. Isaiah saw himself when he seen God high and lifted up. He went a step further and he seen himself in verse 5. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hey, I believe when we get a real glimpse of God, of who He is, hey, what He stands for, what He represents, and what He's in control of, I believe it'll let us see ourselves for what we are. As we look around and we see, and we'd have to say with Isaiah, they said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I believe if we ever do get a glimpse of God and get a glimpse of His holiness and of His righteousness and who He is, I believe, hey, we'll see ourselves for what we are. Isaiah goes a step further in chapter 64 and verse 6. He said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. When these things take place, then and only then can God greatly use us in the work of God. And I believe God wants to use us today. Hey, but we're going to have to see Him for who He is. And we're going to have to see ourselves for what we are. I mean, we're just an unclean thing. And our righteousness, Isaiah said, is as filthy rags. The best that we can do is not good enough. I mean, we start comparing ourselves one with another, we might get to looking pretty good. Hey, we might think, but if we begin to put a look at God and compare ourselves with Him, with His Son, with His holiness, then we'll see ourselves for what we really are. So, there we see, what is it that pleases God? Second thing is not only, that we remember His goodness. We remember His goodness. What it takes to please God. We need to reverence Him in our lives, in every facet of our life, I believe. Hey, we need to give Him the glory and honor His name and for who He is and what He is. But secondly, we need to remember His goodness. I mean, God is good to see. That old saying, hey, God is good all the time, God is good. All the time, God is good all the time. And so we need to remember His goodness. Psalms 103, verse 1 to 5. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefit. Hey, do you ever think about just the benefits and the goodness of God and what He done? He allowed us to get up this morning and see a new day dawning. He allowed us to get ready and come to the house of God and meet together, sing these old songs, these hymns that's been handed down. Hey, He's allowed us to listen to a good Sunday school lesson. Hey, He's allowed us to fellowship one with another. Hey, that's just one day. That's just one of the benefits as of a child of God, that we are honored to be able to come to the house of God and to worship Him. And the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And we need to bless Him this evening when we think of His goodness. He goes on and said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? What about that? We serve a God that is standing there. He's ready to forgive. I mean, as much as we mess up, as much as we fail Him in so many ways, hey, yet He's a God of mercy. He's willing to forgive all of our iniquities. He's willing to heal all of our diseases and the things that, think of the medical technology that God's given us. I mean, it wouldn't have been long. Hey, Miss Ruby hadn't got help, she'd have died. I mean, according to what was going on in her heart, the shape that her heart was in, the blockages that she had, hey, she'd have had a heart attack before long. But thank God, His goodness, He's allowed us to have all this technology, this medical technology, people that normally would have died back years ago. Hey, He's given them the opportunity to extend their life through the medical technology. Hey, God's good to see. Hey, we ain't none of us missed no meals around here. We might not have had the food that we thought we deserved. Hey, but I promise you this. Hey, God's always been good in supplying our needs and what we need to keep us going and to keep our bodies functioning the way that it should. I mean, even the little things that we take for granted, knees and shoulders and heels and Achilles tendons and things like that. Hey, God has allowed us to have the medical treatments to heal those things. And even COVID, I mean, there was 1 million people died. Hey, but there could have been 3 million. We could have been one of them, but yet, hey, God has healed us. He's brought us through that. He's given us a body. The Bible tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, did you know that if you, normally, anything that you have, sinus infection or whatever it might be, it's going to run its course. It's going to run its course. Why? Because God has fearfully and wonderfully made us that our body can even heal itself in times of sickness and things that goes on. You cut yourself and it may hurt for a little while. Hey, but you watch it in a day or two, it'll start healing over. Hey, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, God has given us a wonderful body. He's given us a wonderful world and joy. Hey, as bad as things are and as polluted as things are, hey, He's given us a wonderful place to live. He's good this afternoon. And so we need to remember His goodness. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Hey, we were on our road to hell and He sent His Son before the foundations of the world. Hey, God looked down through eternity. He's seen you and I. He's seen every individual that's coming into this world. And He has designed a way, hey, that we can have our sins forgiven through the shed blood of the Lamb of God that came into this world and willingly died on a cross. Remember His goodness. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Hey, so what is it that pleases God? To remember His goodness. Hey, number three, reliance on His Holy Spirit. Reliance on His Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 said this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hey, you want to know how to live for God? Walk in the Spirit. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. Hey, He's given us the Holy Spirit. And upon salvation, when we trusted Jesus, as we're just talking about the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, upon believing and receiving Christ as our Savior, we receive the baptism of the Spirit. Hey, the Holy Ghost comes and lives inside us. And the Bible tells us, and there in Galatians, said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Hey, when we let God's Word get in us and the Holy Spirit that lives in there, He takes the Word of God and He leads us, He directs our steps, and He guides us in the paths that we're going through, then we're getting in pretty good shape to believe, be pleasing to God when we rely on the Holy Spirit and not ourselves. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me through the Holy Spirit, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So what is it that pleases God? Reliance on His Spirit. You want to be happy? You want to live a life pleasing to God? Walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. You're indwelt. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. I mean, He came into you to live, and He came for a purpose to lead us into the paths of righteousness for the namesake of Jesus. Hey, that ought to make you shout this afternoon. Verse 2 of chapter 16, again it said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And I'm glad that Holy Spirit is there to commune with our spirit and to get us and bring us to that place of maturity in our life. Hey, when we begin to seek God and seek His righteousness, seek His direction and to seek His will for our life, His individual will for our life, hey, then we're getting in pretty good shape to be pleasing unto God. So what is it that displeases God? We've looked at what it is that pleases God. What is it that displeases God? Number one, and we all can identify with this, is a lack of contentment. A lack of contentment. And people have been discontented all through this Bible. You find the children of Israel, I mean, they began to cry out to God. God sent them a deliverer, Moses. He brought them out of the land of Egypt there, and He led them down to the Red Sea. He parted the waters. They seen all of these things that had taken place, and yet they were still discontented. And they complained. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. The Bible said, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. But we see that what displeases God, hey, He was displeased with the children of Israel. He brought judgment upon them in their discontented time. But yet He was a God of mercy. He was a God that extended grace to them, and He extended mercy to them even in the times of their discontentment. A lack of contentment. We ought to be content. The Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we as God's people, we ought to be a people that are contented. I mean, we're saved. We ought not be contented in our status quo, hey, but we ought to be contented in the things that God has blessed us with, hey, that He's allowed us to be a part of, and to allow Him to utilize our lives to the point that we can be pleasing to Him in our contentment, as far as our relationship with Him and getting closer to Him. Not only what it is that displeases God is a lack of contentment, but number two, a lack of compassion. A lack of compassion. Boy, hey, if you're not careful, this world will zap your compassion. Hey, we're all made of the same stuff. All this stuff that's going on today, hey, if we're not careful, we'll lose our compassion for this world. 1 John 3, verse 14 to 17, he said, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. I mean, we even get uncompassionate toward the brethren sometimes because of the lackadaisical, nonchalant attitude about church and about the things of God if we're not careful. And in reality, where would we be had it not been for God being patient with us and having some compassion on us? He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's pretty hard stuff there. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So we see the things that displeases God is a lack of contentment, but also a lack of compassion. Hey, people are lost and on their way to hell. People are headed, rushing madly this evening toward hell. And if we're not careful, hey, we'll lose our compassion because of the things that's going on. Hey, because of the things that they're bringing back and trying to dwell on those things. Hey, our compassion for the lost will fade away if we're not careful. We got to stay close to God. And I believe a person that's really saved, hey, there's some compassion there if we'll just be honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest with the Holy Spirit, and that compassion can be rekindled in our lives. And I'm glad that God's always given me a tender heart, sort of. I mean, compassionate. You know, I'll give people money, and Debbie, she'll get on me sometimes about giving money like that. You know, when just you don't know what they're and I see your point. You know, you don't know what they're doing. Every time I go across a country to Colorado, I'll run into someone, hey, that wants some money. And if I got $10 or $20, I'm liable to give it to them just because I don't really know their situation. They might be in real need, and I might can help them. I might can show a little bit of compassion. I'm not saying that Debbie's uncompassionate. Don't get me wrong. Hey, she's just... But a lack of compassion displeases God. He wants us to be a compassionate people. And I know there's people, we talk about them every time we get off of Yarn 129. There's somebody walking up and down through there with a sign. They got their bicycle. They got their cell phone there. They've got they're ready to get money, and they're taking up money. When, hey, Brother Todd, they could get a job. They could get a job. And I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying a lack of compassion for this world, hey, for brothers and sisters in Christ that may not be to the point and place in their relationship with Jesus that you are. We'll lose our compassion sometimes for people in the church just because maybe they don't see eye to eye to us. A lack of compassion displeases God. A lack of consecration, number three. A lack of consecration displeases God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lack of consecration. He said, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants us to consecrate our bodies, our lives. The Bible says, what know you not? Your bodies, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hey, you can't serve God out of your body. I mean, this is our vehicle. This is the tabernacle that God has given us, and He has told us if we're going to be right with Him, if we're going to bring glory and honor to Him, hey, we're going to have to be consecrated unto Him. That's every area of our life, body, soul, and spirit. I'm glad that when God saves you and I, He saves our soul and He saves our spirit. Hey, our bodies will be saved one of these days. But until then, until we get to heaven, until we reach the end of our life, hey, this body has to be consecrated. It has to be dedicated. It has to be offered to God as a living sacrifice. In reality, what God saved when He saved you, He saved your spirit. Your soul is being saved, and in one of these days, when we get that glorified body, we'll be completely saved. Now, a lot of people take issues with it, and I've got friends that'll take issues with that. Hey, but the Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Hey, we were spiritually dead. We didn't know God. We couldn't get to God on our own. But when He saved us, He quickened us. He made us alive spiritually. And we're being saved. As we go through this life on a daily basis, our soul is being saved. And then one day, our body will be completely saved. We're a trichotomy. We're body, soul, and spirit. And one of these days, when we get that to the end of this life, we'll get that glorified body. So always remember that we're saved. We're being saved, and one day we'll be completely saved. I'm as saved as I'll ever be on this earth. But a lack of consecration, you know, people don't want to surrender all. I mean, there's just something about us that don't want to surrender. And we got to get to that point and place in our life, hey, where we're willing to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. We don't live on dead sacrifice. We know Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He died. He shed His blood. He completed the transaction. It's done. I mean, when God looks at us, He sees His Son. Hey, but we're saved. We're alive and in this world, and He wants us to consecrate our whole being unto Him as a living sacrifice. And the way we do that is, we've talked about it many times, be not conformed to this world. I mean, you can't please God being conformed to this world. You've got to be consecrated. You've got to be set apart. You've got to allow that daily process of sanctification taking place in your life as God begins to chisel out the corners and to mold you and to make you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Beloved, behold, what manner of persons... Let me go over here. I'll miss it. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, hey, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hey, we're going to be just like Jesus, and that's what's supposed to be taking place. Hey, we're being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, and one of these days when he appears, we'll see Him, because we'll be like Him. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what kind of body we're going to have when we get to heaven. Hey, but I know one thing, it's going to be likened to Jesus's, and it'll be good enough. I don't know how old we'll be when we get to heaven. There's a lot of people speculating and say we'll be 33 and a half years old, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think age matters in heaven. Hey, we're going to have that glorified body, and it's going to be a body likened to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see Him, we'll see Him as He is, for we'll be like Him. It goes on, verse 3. Said, and every man that hath this hope, you got that hope this evening. The Bible says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So, there's a process that's taking place in your life. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've been preaching that all day today, even. All day today. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Hey, there's going to have to be a healthy fear of God in your life. And the next thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to get in this Bible, and you're going to have to let this Bible get into you. We're going to have to be obedient to it. When God begins to show us things and begin to make things known to us, hey, we need to have our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to put ourselves to death daily and be obedient and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and bring us to that place of maturity, hey, that God wants us to be. And then he said there in verse 7, said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Did you know when your ways please God, hey, God will take care of those enemies. Most time people's got enemies, there's a problem there. They're not pleasing God. In reality, they're not pleasing God. I mean, he said he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. See, you really believe that, preacher? I believe if we was living the life that we should be living, we're pleasing God, I believe he'd make our enemies to be at peace with us. Not only what it is that displeases God, a lack of contentment, a lack of compassion, a lack of consecration, but a lack of vision. A lack of vision. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A lack of vision. I mean, hey, we're compassed about with a great cloud cloud of witnesses today. Hey, there's people that's looking at your life. Not only people that's in heaven, hey, but there's people on this earth that's looking, that's seeing your life and my life. And when we get a real vision, I believe, hey, that we'll see those that are around us that are lost, that's in need of salvation, and we'll want to be pleasing to God. A lack of vision and realizing, hey, the responsibility that we have as believers, as those representatives, those ambassadors for Christ, hey, to be a witness to those that are watching. Now, the passage there in Hebrews is, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Everything that's hindering you, hey, we need to just lay those things aside. And the sin. I've said this a lot of times. I think every one of us has got a besetting sin. There's something that bothers you, this sin that don't bother me. And there's some things that bothers me that might not bother you. There's a lot of weights that hinder us from serving God. But we realize He wants us to run that race that's set before us and to be pleasing to Him. So then we see who pleases God. Who pleases God? And I'll give you these things and then we'll finish up here in just a minute. Who pleases God? And I won't labor them. The man or woman who relies on God and His mercy. The man and woman who relies on God and His mercy. Psalm 147 verse 11 said, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Did you know that God will take pleasure in you and I if we fear Him? Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. So if we're trusting in God the way that we say we are trusting Him a lot of times, and we begin to acknowledge Him in every area of our life, no matter what it is, our working, whatever it might be. And I believe when we begin to acknowledge God in our trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, a lot of times people are working jobs that's good paying jobs that not beneficial to them spiritually. You follow what I'm saying? Someone is having to, I'm going to go out on a limb here, is having to work on Sunday. Sometimes the ox ain't in the ditch all the time. And some people will take a better job even though they know that they're going to have to work on Sunday because it means more money, when that's not pleasing to God. Because it's pleasing to God upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside his Lord hath prospered him and said, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approach. Hey, it's pleasing to God for us to carry our families, assemble together with a group of believers in a local, visible house of God where we can worship God together. And when we allow work to dictate our lives and what we're going to do on Sunday morning, there's something wrong. We're going against the Word of God. And we're not trusting in the Lord the way that we should. The man who relies on God and His mercy, the man or woman. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart, I believe He'll take care of us, don't you? Lean not unto our own understanding. Well, you know, I make $2 more an hour on this job. Yeah, but what's it going to affect in your life, in your marriage, in your raising your children, when you don't carry them to the house of God the way you should? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. I believe if we acknowledge Him in our finances, He'll take care of us. And the Bible said, and He shall direct your path. So the man and woman who relies on God and His mercy. Hey, the man and woman who praises God continually. Hey, it's one thing to come in here and praise God, but it's another thing to praise Him continually, every day. At the workplace, wherever you might be. I'm not talking about, I know some people, they said they used to walk down the mall and they just always said, praise God, hallelujah. You know, that's to be seen of man. I mean, I'm talking about real praise from the heart as we praise God in our secret place as well as in the public place. I like public praise. I like to sing praises unto God. I was kidding Todd just a minute ago about the singing. I mean, most churches, they sing 30 minutes before the preacher gets up to preach. And we've been used to that. Don't bother me. And I know you can sing too much. Sometimes it's just preaching time. Sometimes it's time to get on with the service, you know. But if you want to please God, we're going to have to praise God continually in our life. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Psalms 34 verse 1 to 3, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So the man or woman that praises God continually. And then number three, the man that practices holiness and keeps His word. The man or woman that practices holiness and keeps His word. If we're going to be pleasing to God, hey, we're going to have some practical holiness in our lives. 1 John 3, 18-24, the Bible said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 said, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we see the man or woman that practices holiness keeps His word. God has commanded us to be holy people. He's commanded us to be separated, consecrated, dedicated in our lives, and to be obedient to the word of God. And when God sheds light in our lives, hey, we need to walk in it. Somebody says, that's hard. No, the Bible says the ways of transgressors are hard. And you mark her down, the ways of transgressors, those that goes against God's word, those that's walking against His word, their life is hard. I've seen people that didn't want to fall under the word of God and the control of the word of God in their life, and their life ends up hard. It ends up a mess, and sometimes it ends up in just ruins. So man, a woman who lives a life of sacrifice unto God is pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:15-16 said, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So a man or woman that lives a life of sacrifice, that sacrifices things for others, that sacrifices things for God. Luke 14:33, the Bible says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty strong, ain't it? Luke 9:23-24 said, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his sake for my sake, the same shall save it. So a man or woman who lives a life of sacrifice unto God is pleasing to God. Do you want to be pleasing to God in your life? And so we see this evening, we see the review of the order that's been given here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7 said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Hey, it's a pretty hard order to follow, to pleasing God in every area of our life. And I know we all fail sometimes, and we fail a lot of times. Hey, but I'm glad, hey, that God is pleased with those that will live a life that will trust in Him for the results of what's going on. So we see, number two, and lastly, the results of obedience. And this is short. Proverbs 16:7, again, he said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I believe all of us this evening desire for our enemies to be at peace with us. And I believe there's a way to ensure that. And it's when our ways please the Lord. And when we begin to walk in His Word, we begin to be obedient to the Word of God and to allow the Word of God to get in us, to convict us, to change us on a regular and a daily basis. Hey, the life of a Christian is a progressive life. I mean, we don't get there overnight. It takes years and years for us to continually begin as we grow. It's just like a child that comes in this world. It seems like just the other day Mason was born and Darrell and Tina got him. He's begun to grow and he's getting bigger and bigger. And one of these days he's going to want to go get a driver's license. He'll want to go get a driver's license. And then after that, he'll probably meet some little old girl and steal his heart. And he'll get married and hopefully have grandchildren. It's a growing process, I mean. I'm telling you, it seems like when we watched our kids grow up, one day, you know, I was working and I didn't spend the time with them as I should have when they was smaller. And man, I turned around one day and they were grown. And now they're gone. And I'm going to tell you what happened to you if you don't allow the Word of God to control your life and you don't allow your life to please the Lord. You'll look around one day and it'll be too late. You've wasted all those years and all that time when you could be a whole lot further along spiritually than what we are. When a man's ways please the Lord, it causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's God's desire that we increase in knowledge, that we take that knowledge, apply it to our lives, and allow God to change us and to use us, and for us to please Him at the same time while He's doing this work in our life. Seeking God in ways that that please Him this evening. Are we pleasing God with our life? Are we doing the things that we know to do? So many times we neglect things that if we would do them, our life would be a whole lot better off. We would be getting closer to the Lord Jesus. We would be making a difference in this world as we go through it. So, let's take inventory, check our lives out, and see if we're pleasing to God in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this evening. Lord, we realize we're few in number here this evening. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us all just to want to please You in our lives. Lord, that we would allow You to control us, to guide us. Lord, that we'd get in this Bible, Lord, and let this Bible get in us. Lord, that we'd be soul winners. Lord, we'd want to see others saved. We'd want to see Your house filled. Lord, we'd want to see people come to know You in a free pardon of sin. And Lord, help us to just be that instrument that's willing to be used of You, and we'll give You glory and we'll give You praise for all that You do and accomplish. We love You in Jesus' name, Jesus' sake. Amen. Anybody got a word or testimony? Comment.